Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs, continuing chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. And if you would care to follow along, you can find a Bible under the chair in front of you. The reading is on page 642. And if you do not have a Bible of your own, you're welcome to take this Bible in front of you home with you. That's a gift. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. This is God's word.
Good to be back with you after 2 weeks of vacation. My family and I were getting a little weary of the heat up here, so we went down to Orlando. And actually, I think it was better for us there than it was for you. Although I did say that the water there was so warm, I think I could have made a good cup of tea with it. But it's good to be back. Speech is one of the greatest gifts that has ever been given to mankind. The ability to speak, to converse, to communicate through spoken words. It separates human beings from every other life form. Speech is uniquely human. Now, we do know that animals use various means to communicate, but none of them talk to each other, with the exception of The Jungle Book and Pixar and DreamWorks. And even a thoroughgoing evolutionist who doesn't even grant that God created human life will still admit that the ability to speak puts us on a level that's so much higher than any other life form that it hardly merits comparison, only contrast. The power of speech and the power of words were clearly understood by Solomon, and that's why he devoted so many proverbs to this topic. Not only do we grow wise by listening to and learning from wise words, but we reveal our current level of wisdom through the words that we use ourselves. These two proverbs teach us that our wisdom is revealed through three aspects of speech. First, the control we have over our words. Second, the level of intensity and emotion in our words. And third, the ability that we have to remain silent when silence is called for. I'd like to examine each of these three and use them as guides for our current speech, kind of a little checkup, and also as motivators to improve our future speech. So if you'll look at verse 27 with me of Proverbs 17, where the first phrase says, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint." Now, I don't know anyone personally who doesn't from time to time fail in trying to restrain their words. Now, some fail more than others, but no one has this discipline fully mastered that I've ever met. James says in chapter 3, verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." So it's not likely that you nor I have this problem completely under control. It's pretty much everybody's struggle. Now, there are a couple of different ways that we can use words with restraint. One is by keeping our words under control. To restrain your words means to keep them in check, the way a bit in a horse's mouth controls the animal. In fact, borrowing from James again, who uses this very illustration, pointing out that though a horse is a strong and powerful animal, this little bit controls it. Then he points out that though the tongue is also small, like a bit, it has great potential. And a very small tongue can get you into very big trouble. Now, everybody knows this simply because everybody has experienced it. We've all been there. And if not, then you may join the ranks of the perfect and the complete person that James refers to in chapter 3. If you want to know whether you use words with restraint, ask how often you say to yourself, "I shouldn't have said that." It's a pretty good indicator. When words slip out because they weren't restrained. Now, free-range chickens are good, but free-range tongues are not. A person of knowledge uses words with restraint because such a person knows the damage that unrestrained words cause. Another way of using words with restraint is by saying less rather than saying more. The law of averages says the more we speak, the greater chance we end up saying something that we regret, which is why Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Now, that doesn't mean that if you talk a lot, inevitably you're going to say more things that you will regret. The context has to do with speaking in the midst of interpersonal conflict. When you're involved in interpersonal conflict with someone, you should weigh your words very carefully. Because the more you say, the more likely you are to say something that you will regret. To use words with restraint means not only to control what we say, to have control over the words that we say, but it means to have control over the amount of words that we say as well. Now, this is more of a challenge for some people than it is for others. Some people, in fact, talk for a living, like teachers and salespeople and preachers. And they don't just talk more because that's their career choice. They entered these fields because they're comfortable talking, which can be a double-edged sword because sometimes it's not so easy to shut them up. But be careful. Because some people are quiet by nature. It's not through any interpersonal discipline they have. They just are quiet by nature. They just don't have much to say, so they don't say much. I've known very quiet people that when they spoke, they still did not use words with restraint. I've known people who didn't say much at all, but when they did say something, I frankly wished that they had just remained silent. The issue is control over your words. The issue is using words that are appropriate, that are healthy and wise and wholesome. So Ephesians 4:29 reminds us, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." I've also known people who talk a lot, but they still use words with restraint. Now, it's more of a challenge to a person who talks a lot than to a person who only talks a little. And if Solomon, I suppose, were here today, he would say that if you're going to err on the side of saying less rather than saying more. Because saying less tends to keep us out of trouble. Saying more tends to get us into trouble. So, if you're a person of few words, there's good news. It probably will be less of a challenge for you. If you're a person of many words, it's going to be a constant challenge. The second way wisdom is revealed through our speech is in the emotion and intensity of our words. Now, we're not just talking about passion here. There's nothing wrong with speaking with passion and emotion. There's a place for passion in our words. There's a place for emotion. This proverb is really talking about speaking with anger and with hate and malice in our words. Now, the ancients would refer to people as either cold or hot. Those considered cold tended to be even-keeled and even-tempered and not easily riled and easygoing. We all know people like that. They're just really easy to get along with, and they don't seem to get worked up over much of anything. Those that the ancients considered hot tended to fly off the handle a lot and be easily provoked and high-strung and loud and boisterous and easily angered. To be hot-tempered, to be a person not even-tempered, means to be out of control. This is so important that Proverbs 22:24 gives us a warning. It says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." So, tell me, how do you know a hot-tempered person when you see them? The answer is, You probably don't know when you see them. You know it when you hear them. That is a dead giveaway. And I think I can safely say that virtually every act of violence begins with words. That's how it starts. Wars are fought because communication breaks down. Fights begin when words are exchanged. We have a term for that. We call them fighting words. A hot temper can be registered on the face, but rest assured that all doubt will be removed when words are spoken. Hot tempers are revealed in hot words. Even tempered people on the outside reveal a person of wisdom on the inside. Such a person tends to listen more than they speak. They tend to think before they respond. They have a lower tendency to be worked up over issues, and they aren't unpredictable. They tend to not overreact. Now, this, again, is not to say that there's nothing wrong, that there's something wrong with being passionate or emotional about something, especially if it's something that's truly important, or wrong to speak with passion or emotion, or wrong or sinful to be loud and forceful. But there is a stability in a person of wisdom. A person of understanding does not tend to run hot and cold. Their temper is more even and predictable. A patient person has an inner strength, control over their words. They're even-tempered. They speak with appropriate passion and emotion. And this is evidenced, or this, I should say, is evidence that they're a person of wisdom and understanding, according to this proverb. The third and last aspect of wisdom revealed is in our ability to remain silent when silence is called for. Now, I say when silence is called for because we're not to be silent all the time. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says that there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. Our problem is that we tend to reverse them. We tend to speak when we should be silent, and we tend to be silent when we should speak. The verse says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue," which does not mean that fools become wise by being silent. That's not what it's saying. They don't get wise simply by not talking. If that was true, then the quickest way to wisdom would be what? Not saying anything. The point is that there is a time to be silent. Wise people know when that time is. Fools do not know. This is so true that even a fool appears wise when they're silent. Now, if a fool is perceived as wise just by being quiet, then how much more wise will a truly wise person be perceived if they remain silent? Let me suggest six reasons why it's wise to keep silent at the proper time. First, listening is more effective when we are silent and not speaking. I hope that doesn't sound profound, because it's not. But you've probably discovered that it's easier to hear what someone is saying when you aren't talking. It is. Second, we don't learn anything when we're speaking. It's the other person's thoughts that we don't know. Whatever I say, I obviously already know, and I don't need to say it to know it. What I don't know is what the other person has to say. And so silence is appropriate when they're speaking, and that way I hear what they have to say. Thirdly, silence is an opportunity to think and perceive and evaluate. This is extremely helpful in the midst of interpersonal conflict. Fourth, silence shows respect for the other speaker, or at least it shows deference to the other speaker. Fifth, silence tends to foster calmness and even-temperedness better than speaking does. If you want to calm down, you're probably going to have more success by being silent rather than by speaking. And sixth, silence can earn you the right to speak. And having just been perceived as wise and discerning because of your silence, then you'll be more apt to be heard when you do speak. Now, there are many ways that wisdom can be revealed in us. One is through our speech. That's really the essence of these two proverbs. A person of knowledge and wisdom uses words with restraint. That is, we control our words, and we tend to say less rather than more in the midst of interpersonal conflict. This is more challenging to those who speak more than to those who speak less. But it's a challenge for everyone. Easier for those who say less, more difficult for those who say more. But nobody is off the hook. Everybody is challenged by it. Those who are wise and people of understanding are even tempered. They don't run hot and cold. This is evidenced in their speech. They are masters over their words rather than being slaves to their words. They don't necessarily lack passion, but passion and emotion are appropriate in their words. Even someone, we're told, who lacks wisdom is perceived as wise and discerning if they are at least silent. That doesn't mean that they are wise. It doesn't mean that they become wise just by being silent. But silence at the proper time is valuable and useful. And it can set the stage for our own words being well received. Now, you could probably guess that our speech and our words are important to God. They are extremely important to God. You may recall that Jesus said that it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks, which doesn't mean that we change who we are on the inside just by what we say. It means that what we say is an accurate reflection of who we already are on the inside. Now, I don't know if that's as sobering to you as it is to me. That's why the Proverbs say that a person of knowledge, with understanding, with wisdom, speaks in a certain way. Because we speak as a reflection of who we are. Now, the process begins and ends with discipline and self-control. Remember, it's spirit-controlled self-control. Spirit-empowered self-control. The Spirit of God working with our spirit to bring about the changes that God desires. May God grant us control over our tongues so that we, by what we say, will reveal wisdom within. And even the psalmist saw his own need for God's enablement in this area. Because listen to his prayer in Psalm 141. He said, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." A prayer worth praying ourselves. Let's pray. Lord God, we do pray that prayer for ourselves, that you would set a guard over our mouths and keep watch over the door of our lips, that our speech, what we say, what we don't say, the times of silence when we should be listening, that we have restraint over our words, that these are all a reflection of who we are, and that they reflect wisdom within. There may be no other way in our lives that we more accurately communicate with people who we are. And people take note of what we say, and they take note of how we say it. So may we grow in this area, where we are weak and where we speak words that are unrestrained and cause damage, and in interpersonal conflict when we tend to say things that we regret, sometimes just because we say too much, will you, by your Spirit, give us the control we need to be people who speak with restraint and allow the Spirit of God to bring about the changes that are desired in us. To that end, we pray. We know it'll be a tough battle. It will never be fully over. We pray that you'll strengthen us for it. In Jesus' name.